Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word, which we meditate upon this morning, is the first psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace wore a very appropriate shirt this morning. Blessed, right? That's how our psalm starts out. Blessed is the man. But what does it mean to be blessed? That's what the psalm is trying to teach us, isn't it? Many of you remember how Abraham listened once to his wife Sarah. Well, he probably listened to his wife other times too, but the one in particular I'm going to talk about. He listened to his wife Sarah and lay with her maid, Hagar. Hagar became pregnant and had a son, Ishmael. And when Hagar saw that she had borne a son, but her mistress Sarah had not, she became arrogant towards Sarah, who responded by treating her very harshly so that Hagar ran away into the wilderness. Well, there's a lot of sin going on there, isn't there? Pretty much everybody is making bad choices and wrong decisions, and the consequences of all that sin is division and strife and suffering and loneliness. But as Hagar was in the wilderness waiting to die, she'd actually set her son under a bush and went away because she said, "I don't want to watch my son die." As she's sitting there in the wilderness waiting to die, Yahweh, the Lord, appears to her and promises her to be with her, and strengthen her. And comforted and strengthened by God's promise, Hagar responds, "Ber lahai roi." The Lord sees me. Hagar was never wealthy. You could never really point to anything in her life and that anyone in this world would call being successful. She was a maid. And yet, with those words, Hagar clearly considers herself to be blessed. Not because of what she had in this world or because where her life was at, but because she understood now that the Lord saw her. The Lord knew her suffering, her pain, her loneliness. The Lord knew her sin and loved her anyway. Kept her as his child and watched over her. Hagar considered herself blessed when she understood what it meant to live in the presence of the Lord. Last Monday, I didn't mention this anecdote last Sunday, but last Monday night, I mentioned a post that I saw online, an anonymous post a lady posted where she talked about how she, years ago, cheated on her husband and how much she hated herself for that, but was never going to let him know. And really how sad that is, that that woman has to live now with that guilt and that loneliness as she hides a part of herself from her husband. How much better if she were able to talk about it and the two of them were able to work through it with the Lord's help to forgive one another and to live together and build a better life together. That's how Hagar felt some. The guilt and the loneliness, hiding of a part of herself until she received those promises from the Lord and was reassured that the Lord saw her, forgave her, and mercy on her and watched over her. This is what Psalm 1 is talking about when it talks about blessed is the man. It's tempting when you look at Psalm 1 to summarize it as do what the Lord wants and the Lord will give you earthly success. But the real ultimate expression of Psalm 1 comes in that very last verse. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. And that last verse is expressing that same thought that Hagar expressed. The Lord knows, he sees me and has had mercy upon me. When Psalm 1 talks about the righteous there, it's obvious it's not talking about those who are righteous by their own good works, because then no one would be included. When Psalm 1 talks about the way of the righteous, it's clear it's talking about the mercy of God, which gives righteousness to sinners who trust in him. The Lord knows those who are his. And so the blessing that Psalm 1 is talking about is the blessing of living in his presence and receiving his mercy. The man is blessed who, as Hagar says, the Lord sees. The man is blessed upon whom, as we hear every Sunday in the benediction, the face of the Lord shines. The man is blessed whom, as Jesus tells Martha, chooses to sit at the feet of Jesus and receive his blessing. Psalm 84:10 reminds us, a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Therefore, they're not alone. They're not isolated and cut off, but receive his mercy and his blessing. Let's look back at the psalm. We'll start with verse 1 here and see how this plays throughout this psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The psalm begins by giving us that comparison. Walking, standing, sitting among the people, the congregation of the sinners, among the people of this world, is not a blessed way to live. It's often very tempting to see it as a better way. It's very often very tempted to try and hide ourselves in the crowd. It's often tempting to think, well, everyone else is doing it. The consequences can't be that bad. Or at least, if I'm just one of many, I won't have to bear the consequences myself. I can hide in the crowd. But Proverbs 9:12 reminds us, if you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. Proverbs 9:12 is reminding us that you can't hide in the crowd. Not from God. Proverbs 9:12 is reminding us that if you scoff at wisdom, if you scoff at the word of God, it doesn't matter if everyone else is doing it, you will have to bear the consequences. There's a huge pressure to join the lifestyle around us, but that is not the blessing of the Lord. Living in the presence of sinners is not a blessing. Rather, to live in the presence of the Lord is to receive his mercy. We try to hide in the crowd and keep that part of ourselves that we are ashamed of from other people. That just makes us more alone. Coming into the presence of God who sees us and knows us instead has mercy upon us. Yeah, it reveals our sin. We also receive that blessedness of his mercy. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There's a couple of different ways that people approach God's word. And how you approach God's word and what you're trying to get out of God's word is going to drastically change how you see this verse, the second verse of our psalm today. For example, there are some who approach God's word as a source of earthly wisdom. We're going to find proverbs in it, maxims for our daily life, 12-step program to make me a better person. And so they approach God's word and they see this verse here, right? We got to meditate in God's word. We got to find those 12 steps to a healthier you, and we got to apply them to our life, and then we'll be blessed. We'll have a more successful life. Others, of course, approach God's word as a way to create your own righteousness. Let's listen to the commandments. Let's do all that God commands, and then we will be blessed. That is, we will be saints. We will be holy ones. Others approach God's word as you got to put in the time. Make sure you do your 10, 15 minutes of Bible reading every day. Make sure you go to church for 45 minutes Sunday morning. You put in your time, God will be pleased. He will reward you. You do task A, God will give you the reward of task B. And that reminds me of that scene from Pirates of the Caribbean, which I always thought was the funniest scene, probably because I'm a pastor. But you remember the two pirates are sitting in the boat, and one of them's reading the Bible, and the other one says, "You can't even read." And the first one says, "Well, it's the Bible. You get points just for trying." That's the way some people approach God's word, right? Yeah, I put in my 10 minutes, I do what God says, put in the time, God will reward me for just for trying. Or you can approach God's word seeking the face of God. You can approach God's word looking in it to find the wonderful things that God has done for you. Like Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, like the Emmaus disciples who listened as Jesus explained how all of Scripture testified about Him. Now think of those different ways of approaching Scripture and read verse 2 again. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now which way of approaching Scripture is going to result in delighting in God's Word? We don't find delight in God's word if we see it as a list of commands that we have to do, or if we see it as simply putting in your time. We find delight in God's word when we seek to live in God's blessed presence, when we seek to know more about the wonderful things that God has done for us. When I was a kid, we had those reading challenges. You read so much or did certain different things reading, and you got your personal pan pizza from Pizza Hut. And as a kid, you know, I naturally thought, okay, you do task A, you do the reading, you get prize B, pizza. Now I'm making myself hungry. It's only as an adult that I understand that the real prize wasn't the pizza, but the reading itself. And that's what God is talking about here in Psalm 1. He's not saying, do task A, and I promise to give you a prize, B. He's saying, do this, search the Scriptures, because in it you will find blessedness. You will find the face of the Lord. You will find the forgiveness of sins. You will find strength and comfort for your daily life. You will learn to know God and to walk with God. You will be blessed. Not because of some prize that God is going to give you, but because you will have that face of God, that presence of God who knows you, who sees you, and has mercy upon you. Verse 3 continues, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And once again, we're tempted to see this as a promise from God. Like, oh, if I do what God says, I do his commands, I read his word, then I will have success. I'll be this great green tree. I'll be wealthy. I'll be prosperous. But that's not what God is saying. I mean, just think about it for a second. If a tree is planted by a river, does that mean that the tree never endures storms or earthquakes or fires or blizzards? A tree planted by a river has to endure the storm just as much as a tree that's not planted by a river. But the difference is the tree planted by the river has that constant source of water, of life, and of strength, so that when the storm comes, it is strengthened to endure. And that's what God is saying, not only in Psalm 1, but that's what he's saying in our gospel reading as well. He's not promising that those who are loyal to him, those who come to church, those who read his word, are never going to have storms in their life. He's not promising you're never going to have to go through tribulation and suffering. What he does promise is that when the storms come, you'll have that water of life to strengthen you, to comfort you, so that you can endure. As Psalm 46 reminds us, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. That's what we see. We go back again to the account we started with, the life of Hagar. There's no indication in Scripture that when Hagar returned after she talked to God, that Sarah stopped treating her harshly. There's no indication in Scripture that her life got better outwardly, but what it does indicate is that being strengthened by that word, by those promises, by that knowledge that God was with her and saw her, even in her suffering, even in her sin and guilt, that the mercy of God was with her, being strengthened by those promises of God, she went back and endured and lived in God's grace. She had drunk of that water of life that God talks to the Samaritan woman about. And that's what God is promising us in this psalm. To strengthen us through his word, so that we live in his presence. We live in the presence of God who sees us. We'll finish up with the last couple of verses here. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord sees, he knows the way of the righteous. That is to say, he knows and sees those who are his, those whom he has called, gathered, sanctified through the Holy Spirit and through the Word to make his children, to make his people. He sees and watches over them, and they are blessed because they live in the presence of God. And this is the choice that Psalm 1 is giving us. It's not so much a choice of choosing to do what is right versus choosing to do what is evil, although there is that aspect to it. But more importantly, it's that choice of choosing to live in the presence of God, even though he sees your sin, choosing to acknowledge that sin, confess that sin, and receive his forgiveness and live in his presence, or choosing to hide yourself among the sinners of this world, where you might think that you can hide your sin, but of course, the consequences will come. Jesus reminds us that the good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The Lord sees the way of his people. He watches over them, and they are blessed to live in his presence. Psalm 1 offers us that choice to live and walk among sinners, or to live and walk before the face of Yahweh, who knows us and has had mercy upon us. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.